Good evening, friends. It's a privilege to be here tonight to speak in the name of the Lord. And as I've noticed, we were having a little trouble with the my second voice. This is a sermon. This thing is a perfect meeting, unless something's behind to speak here. That's where a minister is a meeting until the Holy Spirit speaks to him. And then it becomes a servant of Christ. Now, I think tomorrow morning is breakfast for the Christians, I believe the Christians. And there's no designation of ministers and choosing businessmen whenever I'm speaking, and that's their next dessert convention. And so I just nodded my head to Brother Vail, who's back there picking up the acoustics to see if it was right. Tomorrow night now is prayer for the sick. I'm going to try to let you out. I told Brother Vail a few weeks ago I was going to cut my horses about half and two because we're just a little late. But tomorrow night is the night we pray for the sick. Now, get on the phone tomorrow and get the people out here that is sick. Now, the prayer cards will be given out tomorrow afternoon at the afternoon service at the church. And those who are out of town and come from out of town or work and send out, I have the boys here to have some prayer cards here at 6:30 tomorrow night for those who could not get in for the afternoon service. If all possible, get the afternoon service and get your prayer cards from the boys there or at 6:30 tomorrow night from the auditorium. Now, we want to get straight to the message right quick. You expect me to see many of you in the morning at the breakfast, I suppose, it's been announced to you. And we'll be looking for you tomorrow. And that's up here where we continue on with the service at the International Convention of Christian Businessmen. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter and the 11th verse, I read a portion of God's Word. And as the eagle stirs up her nest, floweth over her young, floweth abroad her wings, and taketh them beneath them on her wings. I said last night I would speak tonight, the Lord willing, on the eagle stirring her nest. I spoke on this before over in Virginia a few months ago. And I know it was quite lengthy, so I just tried to speak on a few of the high spots. But there's something about nature that if you look at nature, you'll see God. And God dwells in His universe, in His people, in His Word, in His Son. He just dwells in His flowers. He dwells in everything. God is universal. On the present. And now in thinking of the eagle, I've often wondered why God likened this heritage to an eagle. And then it stirred my curiosity of being a rancher myself and watching the traits of the eagle, and how I've studied nature. Nature was my first Bible. I used to, before I knew one word in the Bible, when I was 21 years old, a man told me to look for James 5:13 in the Bible, and I was looking in Genesis to find it. 21 years old. And at 22 years old, I was an ordained Baptist minister in Missionary Baptist Church. The Lord was good to me. But I studied God from the way of nature to where I found Him, just like a flower. I noticed you women here with your flowers. How they say a bloom up in the summertime, then death starts. They bow their little heads and give up the life that's in them. The petals drop off, a little black seed drops out. Then we have a funeral procession. Did you know that? God has a funeral procession for His flowers, sure. The fire rains come and cry, they will tear down and bury the little black seed. Then along comes the cold winter. Brings us up from the pulp down, burst out of the seed and runs out. When in the year there is no bud, report, no seed, no nothing that you can find. Yet, he knows God has preserved the life. Just as that eastern sun begins to shine and warm up the ground, there's no science to find that little grain of life, yet it's there and it lives within. And if God has made a way for a flower to live again, how much more has He made a way for a man to live again? Some time ago, I was having ice cream with an old Methodist preacher friend of mine. And he used to sing a little song that I was speaking to you about. Now, he was a real Methodist. He wasn't just like a lot of Methodists today, just go to church. He was a Methodist who had this experience. Now, I've often said to the Pentecostal people, you Pentecostal people just got the same Holy Spirit we Baptists got. Now, we're not them kind of Baptists who show feelings and go in church. We get out there and shoot one over the back so we come through. We have something when we got through. God knows we need to live Baptists like that. The old Protestant type of Baptist. Not just the one that believes in grace and brings a lot of good grace to the gospel, but one who believes in the grace of God and lives without the Holy Spirit. And I was having ice cream with this old Methodist friend of mine, and the agriculture hour was on. And over in Louisville, Kentucky, they were broadcasting and set a little 4-8 club of made-up machine that could produce a grain of corn just as perfect as one that was grown in the field. That you could reach your hand in a sack, that was a machine produced, but your hand in a sack that was raised in the field, mixing together, there was no way of ever coming apart. Take them to the laboratory, let them open. They both have the same amount of calcium and moisture. Their hearts are in their brain just the same. Everything just one makes just as good a cornflakes as the other one, just as good a cook, harmony, anything as the other. And they said there's only one way you can really tell. That's good. I said to this old message, now if you don't want me to embarrass you, then I'll hold my hand. You can act like a Christian. You might dress like a Christian. You might impersonate a Christian in every way, but unless that grain of life is in there, you'll never rise on the resurrection. That machine can put all the moisture and all the calcium in there, but it can't put life in there. That's God. Work it alone. You might be a Christian and be just as loyal and perfect in your church as you can be, but except you're born again in the resurrection, you'll raise up. All eternal life, God's life, will raise up from the dust of the earth. Those watching the eagles and the birds, lots of times of great joy has it been to me to watch them. And I begin to read what the eagles were, how many were there. And you'd be surprised to know that there's 40 different types of eagles. The word itself means a carrier or a feeder with the beak, with the mouth. And that's like, in the water, God's like in his heritage to eagles, his prophet, because they feed the word with the mouth by preaching. That's the reason he likened to eagles. Feeding the flock by the mouth. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing of the word. So that's why one reason he would liken him to eagles. And another reason he likened to eagles. An eagle is a special bird. He can fly higher than any other bird there is. Oh, I know a lot of people here, you think it's a hawk. The hawk is no equal to him at all. Well, if the hawk would try to fly as high as an eagle, he would just disintegrate in the air. The eagle can lose the hawk anytime. He can go so high that the hawk couldn't even breathe. And then in order to get up there, that means that the eagle has to be able to see far. Then another thing, he'll have to be a special male bird. If he wouldn't a pair of pliers. He has to be to hold his big weight, let be in air. So when he gets up there, he has to be a special bird, special built bird, or he will never get up there. And that's the way a Christian is. He's just not wheeled over or something kind of a bird fixed over. He's born and made a Christian by birth. He's a special made bird, God designed. So if we go above, way high, go above the things of the world, and watch them coming in a distance. Now, I wouldn't dream to get up there unless he was able to stay there or to do some benefit while he was there. And that's the way the prophet is, the preacher, that can climb in the spirit far beyond anything. Very high in the height of inspiration. A real servant of God can climb so high till a normal mind can even follow him. Because he's a special good bird. Oh, how I love to think of that. I've always liked to be a little different anyhow from the things of that life, and I don't like the world or the things of the world, and I'm glad to know that we're both different. That's really different. Now, you know, the little rain can run around on the ground and the buzzard can soar, but he can never follow an eagle. He's died. I'm just so glad that God got some people that can climb above the things of the world. Way up high. And he has to be a special bird to do that. Then I noticed again that he, the reason that he gets up there and is a special bird, not because that he desired to be a special bird, but because God made him a special bird. He is a special bird because he was born a special bird. That's the reason a lot of lukewarm church members can't follow a real Christian in the spiritual things. He's never been born again. He hasn't been designed for that purpose. No wonder you can't understand it, but even see. And another thing about the eagle renews his youth. Renews his strength and his youth. That represents the church again. Because a man can be backslidden and away from God and put him in a good revival somewhere and he renews his covenant. He renews his youth. He comes back to God and he'll feel like he's all washed up and ready to go again. That's what evil does. He gets old and his habits and things begins to fail. He can't see good no more. Then all of a sudden something happens to him, and he comes back like a young bird again. Well, I remember the first Pentecostal meeting I belonged to. It was at Mishawaka, Indiana. And they had about 500 preachers on the platform, and they said, we want every man up here just to stand up and say what church he belongs to, what his name is. And I just stood up and said, Baptist, William Branham, Baptist, sit down. All of them got through, and that day I didn't notice many of the young preachers preaching. And I listened to their message. I thought they were kind of noisy, but you know, if you're not a little noisy, it's the sound of your voice, If your religion hasn't got some emotion, I can prove to you anything without emotion is there. Right. When Aaron went into the Holy of Holies, they put a pomegranate and a bell. And when that's the only way they go, he was still alive because he made a noise in there. That's about the only way you can tell the church is alive, and you hear a good amen once in a while and something that a little fact is still alive there somewhere. And I remember that night they brought an old preacher out there. He was about 80 years old, had a health into the platform. Just had a little rim of cotton around there, an old Negro preacher. And just a little rim of cotton around like this, a great big old, one of those felt collar creatures, pigeon tail coats we used to call them, walked out there at the platform, so old, the old fellow couldn't hardly speak. And he said, children, He took his text from over in Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Declare unto me where we're fastened. When the morning stars came together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, all the ministers that day have been talking about the life of the Lord Jesus on earth. But he picked him up about a million years before the world ever began, when the morning stars came together and the sons of God shouting for joy. Going down the horizontal rainbow in the second coming. He'd been on the platform about 5 minutes and Jesse jumped in the air and his heels there and said, "Glory!" Said, "You haven't got enough room up here for me to preach." He kept off there like a little kid. I was about 23 years old. I said, "That's what I want. If you don't know the room to do that, what would you do to bring up there? I want some of that." Oh, I'm so glad for all. And so the evil renews his youth. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like eagles. They shall run like lightning. They shall walk in that thing, and oh, how the Lord does give us those illustrations. Now, and another thing that evil has, he is a bird that has ambition not to let his little ones be hurt. He builds his nest really high in the rock, and there he makes his nest for his young ones. How different it is with the other birds, how they build their nest down low. But the eagle goes high to build his nest. Some time ago, I was down to Cincinnati, Ohio, to the zoo. I got two little girls, a little boy, and how I love little children. And every time when I'm gone from them so long, come in, get in the house, one wants to piggyback, and you know how it is. And I just love the little fellas, and I'm going to use them now for an expression. Some time ago, they get up in the morning, every who gets up in the morning gets on my lap first. And Rebecca is a little older than Sarah, and so Rebecca got up first and she ran in and jumped across my leg, and her leg's long, hung down to the floor, and she put her arms around me and began to hug me. And just then, the smaller girl came into the room. And she looked, and Rebecca turned to Sarah and said, "Sarah, I've got all of Daddy. There's none left for you." And the little fellow, the little girl, puckered up her little lips to cry. And I motioned to her and put my other leg out. And she come over and jumped on my knee. And I put my arms around her, and she turned those big brown eyes and looked over to Rebecca and said, "Rebecca, you may have all of Daddy, but Daddy's got all of me." So that's the way it is, brother. You may have all of me, I'll have it all, but I want Christ to have all of me, everything that I am, every fiber and every bit, I want him to hold me. How that God and does his great marvelous work. One day I was up in Colorado, where I all turned around. And there was, oh, it was early in the fall, and the snow hadn't come yet, and the elk herds were high. And the rancher, Mr. Jeffries, and I ranched together for years while we were hunting, and we rode the land like you were just sitting here. And so we were about 2 days journey back at on Troublesome East Fork, the Troublesome River. And he separated that morning, and he said, "Billy, I'm going over to look after some sheep, wild sheep, mountain sheep. But I'll meet you down at the other line camp, which is about 75 miles away. But I'll meet you down there about day after tomorrow because the elk is in the district." I said, "Okay, Jeff." So I went high from to the timber line. And I tied my horses down in the bottom and be back the day after something to pick them up. And I was walking along, and that time of year, it'll rain, and then the sun will shine, then it'll snow, and the sun will shine, and it come up a storm. And I got behind a tree and stood like this until the storm was over. It was raining and blowing. And I stood there and was thinking about how good God is. And how I love to be alone with Him up there in the mountains. There was a blowdown near where I was, where the cliffs had come to and blow the trees down. And as the storm went away, I began to think on the scriptures and the great meetings. And then the sun was setting in the west and a great eye looking across the valley. And where the evergreen had blown up there high from the storm, it formed a rainbow. And all David said, when the dew calls to the dew, if there's something in you that loves God, and you can see something that's godly, there's just something that takes a hold of and grips you. And I remember, I said, there he is, Jehovah, his great eye looking. There's the rainbow. That's his covenant. And I said in the New Testament, I remember thinking that he was looked upon as jasper and sardis stone, Benjamin and Reuben, the first and the last, and the covenant of the rainbow over his head. And just then, an old great war piled up on the mountain, and the mate anchored down in the bottom. My mama's a half Indian, and my conversion never took it out of me. Oh, something began to call the deep, the deep, the wild call. Then I heard the old bull, bugle. He got turned away from the herd. And then something within me began to call out, oh, God, you are present. Where you are in the wolf call, where you are in the elk bugle, where you are in the rainbow, there you are in the setting of the sun. Lord, you are everywhere. And then I was amazed that a little old pine squirrel jumped up, a little old fellow about so long, and just all like the Irishman's owl, all fussy and feathers. He just began to jump up and down his head all night. He was going to tear me to pieces. Well, I said, little fella, what I've been doing, when I felt that real deep call, I set my gun down against the tree and went around and around and around the tree just as hard as I go to the tree and top of the wall. Well, if there's been somebody who would just set a maniac out here. But I didn't say what they thought. I was worshiping God. That's all I cared. I know he was there. And a person just can shout and say, your shouts are no good. You must, everywhere you see God, express yourself to Him and love Him. And I thought, did I strike you, little fellow? And I happened to notice he wasn't paying much attention to me. But he cocked his little head and looked down. He's looking down in that blowdown. And the winds and the storm had forced a big eagle down. And we had a brown eagle in Colorado, which is a very big bird, and forced him in there. And that's what he was excited about. Well, I thought, well, why did you stop me from shouting? Or something like that. This big eagle jumped up on one of them, great, big, gray-looking eyes, beautiful bird. And he took that just as straight. And I said, now, what did you want me to see in that eagle? You mean I could see you in that eagle? Why did you interrupt me from worshiping the way I was, around and around the street? Then I thought, well, there's one thing I can see in him. He's not afraid. And God's creatures are never afraid. You're not afraid of nothing. So then, I noticed again, I said to him, do you know I could shoot you? It's talking to him. Nobody else there to talk to. You see, and I'm the Lord. So I said, you know I could shoot you? And I made out like a good reach from a gun. I see those big eyes look at me, and I noticed he began to feel those feathers. See if everything was running on him. He knew that God gave him two wings, and he could trust those two wings. And he knew before I could get my gun to my shoulder, he'd be in the treetop, and I'd never see him again. He knew what he was doing. Oh, I thought, how much more if God give an eagle two wings and he knew where he was standing with him, what ought a Christian to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do you ought to know where he's standing? Well, he's that's how it listens to that little old pine fruit. And finally, he just made a couple of big drops of drink, dropped his wings about twice, and he was outside the timber, and then I seen what God was meaning. He never flopped no more. He just knew how to set those big strong wings, and as the wings came up there, the big gust, he just rolled down the waves on. He never moved a feather. He just knew how to set his wings. And he went on beyond that little old pine swirl till it becomes just a little dot. I stood there and wept like a baby. I said, that's it, God. It isn't join the Methodists and make up matter if you join the Baptists and service in the Pentecostals. That isn't it. It's just knowing how to set their wings in the power of His faith. And when the Holy Ghost comes in like a vessel, right away, go on. Away from this chatter here. Oh, the grace of miracles is Christ. Chatter. No such thing as divine healing. No such thing as that is the Holy Ghost. Just set your faith in the power of His Spirit and ride away without joining Baptist, Methodist, or Pentecost, or any of them. Just ride away upon the power of the Holy Ghost. Just throw your faith out and say, God, you still live and reign, and you're the same Lord Jesus. Ride away on His blessings. Certainly He promises. One day little Sarah and I was taking a walk. Here's Zoo. And I've seen the most saddest sight I believe I ever seen. It was an eagle in a cage. They hadn't had him there very long. That great big fella didn't have any feathers over his head. All his wings was beat off on the side. Now watch him. He'd lay on the floor. Take his hand. He'd get up. He'd look at those bars. He'd turn him off this way. He got a start. And he'd fly across the end. He'd play against those bars, flopping his wings, knock him back on the floor. He'd get up, look at the bars somewhere else, walk back, get a start, and here he'd come. He'd bump his head till he'd beat his head till he'd had no feathers on his head or on his wings. And then it finally knocked him out of the floor, and he lay there. And his weary eyes, as he looked towards the sky, that was it. He was a heavenly bird. He was born to soar in the sky. And here he was caged in, not a way to ever be free again. I thought that was the most satisfied. I'd give that man $100 more than he paid for evil if he'd let me open that door to him out. All the faith that he was born to stay in those blue skies. Then he looked up at him, but it couldn't do it. Somebody had put him in a cage. I thought that was a sad sight. But brother, when I see men and women who are born to be sons and daughters of God, placed in an old cage of denomination theology that they say that they can know as a past one, and to keep me away from the real thing of God, walking around out here trying to satisfy that blessed hunger that God put in me to thirst after Him, and satisfy the wearing salts and drinking and joining churches and all these things, and then that's the saddest sight I ever seen. You were born to be anything that God was born to. The unspoiled and spoiled the unknown. God made you thus. Not to be faith in my denomination. Don't believe in miracles. I don't care what your denomination does. Your Savior says so. That settles it. Don't let no man touch in the cage. You don't need any cage. You need to be free. The reason you look upward is because you're a violent people. The reason you love to do that is because God made you done. You think so quick cook and a chicken cook? You are made to be an evil of fire, the sky, the heavens above. That's what's the matter tonight. That's what your hearts are hungering for. You should get loose and get free because you are evil to begin with. An eagle is an eagle to start with. He is born an eagle. That's what makes him hunger and thirst for righteousness. But as long as you're standing in a cage that says the days of miracles is past. Oh, don't listen to those fanatics. There's no divine healing. There's no baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing but a bunch of holy rollers. Don't you believe
that. Don't you believe that? There is a man who paid the price to open the door and find you with you. And try to hold on to the power of his blessing. That man is Jesus Christ, who died to take you out of the devil's thorn top and to make you free in Christ Jesus. So you can take the heavens above.
Was an angel, yet an eagle. All he is, how much different he is from a chicken. But they're both birds. What is a chicken? A chicken is a denominational brother, but he's a chicken. How much different it is with a chicken. The eagle goes just as high as he can and builds his nest in the cleft of a rock. And he gets up there so no predators can get to him. That's the way a real preacher builds his church. As the eagle of God, he builds it up on the word and the spirit of God, so that the all the old zappers and old shortwares and cigar smokers and two hall gamers can't touch it, because he gets them eagles so high and born in the kingdom of God that all the old savages of Elvis Presley, Arthur Boxley, that was the stuff they turn away from. The living God. The high ambition. Jesus said, you are a city that sits on a hill that gives life to everyone. And the real church of God is built with ambition that won't stop on these earthly organizations. It brings in the power and the resurrection of Christ. He stirs beyond these old chicken nests that we have around here. Right. No, he in the wilderness will probably take care of the sprinklers, dehydrators, somebody that's putting on kind of three powders, all kinds of stuff like that, indoctrinating. What are they? Nothing but a prey. A prey to the weasel. A prey to the wolf. A prey to the snake. Everything that comes along. Whether a man that's born of the Spirit of God is, they have to be all indoctrinated and born in circle, circle, that circle, circle. He's born by the Spirit of God, a free man that stands on it, and depends on the living God to take care of him. You promise that I'll take care of him. Your eyes are ambition to live for God. Your chicken will go out to the wilderness. They'll build her a nest, a great big coop, and put a big bunch of lye over it, and put down and everything like that. Just a domesticated bird, that's all there is to it. Once you get to the ones, they don't know nothing about the heavenly. But the evil climbs up there and builds her nest. How many times have I watched them through my binoculars up in the top of the mountain? You ought to watch the evil, how she takes care of her nest. She'll go out and get great big sticks. You'll go right to a little state peak like this, just as high. There's not a slip and there's nothing can get to us. I'm so glad that the Church of the Living God built the same way. It's built above all the things of the world. It's so high above it, because we don't even look at it no more. If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God, hallelujah. That's right. And then this old eagle will take these big sticks, and how she'll put them into little crevices, and she'll bend them around with a paw. Then she'll go to dry vines, and she'll wrap them around, and tie that nest together just as tight so the wings can't blow it. Oh, God takes care of his own. And then she'll go out and she wants everything real closely for her babies that's coming on. So when she kills sheep or rabbits, she'll bring that stuff in, and she'll take a big beak and stuff them loose chicory places all full of rabbit skin, all full of beak skin, and make it real soft and cozy. That's the way God does when he brings one of his children into his care. He always makes the nest cozy, all the teeth with everything. All the clothes is rolled away. You're just a beak when you're born again. God cares for you. Then how she takes care of those little fellows, lashes them, feeds them, takes care of them. She goes out and gets sheep. She goes and gets sheep. She watches her diet. And eagles eat off, spiritual eagles eat from the word of the living God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Man shall not live by denomination. He shall not live by creeds or by prayers. He shall live by the word of God, that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, look by the word. brethren is evil. Notice, banning. After a while, it comes to a place that these four eagles begin to cut more feathers. How delighted the mother is to see these feathers in the little eagle. After a while, they become pretty good sized feathers. Now remember, they've never been out of that nest. And that old mother eagle is determined that her kids will not be chickens. They'll not have the habits of chickens. I'm so glad of that. If God's children, God's determined by the Holy Ghost that His spirit, your children, will not be formal, denominated, so-called Christians. He's determined of that. And after they get the feathers out a little bit, then there comes a time, what they call the spring of the nest. I've watched it many times. That old mother eagle will come down one day, she'll look over these little fellows, and she'll say, all right, she'll get them to stand up. She'll stand up on her nest. She'll take those great big wings of hers, and she'll go to stand that nest just as hard as she can. Why? After a while, she's going to take those little needles on a solo flight. We're not going to be chickens earthbound. There's the miracles of past, and there's no such a thing as this and that. But she's going to give them a solo flight. And if those feathers are loose, they'll break their neck. So she has to fan all the loose feathers off of them with her own wings before she can take them on the solo flight. Brother, I'm telling you, if the Pentecostal church ever needs a wing thing, it's right now. Look at all the loose feathers off of it. That's right. He means even doing the things of the world. All these churches are guilty of the same thing, from one to the other. And notice, he has to get those feathers out of them. And if they don't, he'll break their neck. And he's too many loose feathers. And he's got the equipment to do it with. He's got two big wings. And God's got the equipment to do it with, both over the New Testament. Jesus Christ is king yesterday, today, and forever. What do you think takes place when those little eagles have been down in that path in the rock, hovered by their mother all the time, when the first time they feel a mighty rushing wind coming down? But somehow God has a way of stirring this by a mighty rushing wind. He went up there at Pentecost and moved under the mighty rushing wind. They were holding there to stand the new settings out of the Pentecostal church. You know what you can do? You can actually stretch between the rest of you. And you know what you said to stand down. You can stay up there, you'll press your neck. And you chicken, there's no need to try to think about it. No wonder you can't take it. Well, you take them over here and pull out up there, she disintegrates. That's why she can't stand it. She's got to be an eagle or she can't stand it. You can't take it. And you've got to be born again before you can ever understand it through the supernatural. Right. So the old eagle stands there and she fans the feathers all out of them. Oh, brother, what a time. Then the next thing she does, she gets in there and takes all of those little sheepskins and things that she stuffed out of that nest, takes the beak and throws them out on the hill. She's determined they're not going to be chickens. And she's going to make that nest so miserable for them that they have to get out. So then you have you standing on thorns. Every time you stay on, it's a thorn. Over there, it's a thorn. Over there, you stop, it's a thorn. God does that for a purpose. The only evil wants to make them that way. And if you notice when the mighty rushing wind hits you, and you begin to glorify God, everyone you hit was a thorn. You try to take your testimony and bring the world up. And if Jesus told your best friend, he said, huh, that's your hole will have you. A thorn. Get ready! You're going to take a ride! That's what I tell you. God's just making you ready. You know, listen to the pastor say, Pastor, last night I was praying and all at once something happened to me. My life changed and I feel different. I hear it. Don't you go stretching that around our church. Another song. He makes the nest so miserable till you have to get out. He just can't take it anymore. Because if he don't take that, that shows you wasn't able to begin with. Then after a while, when he gets it all, listen, all dissatisfied, then the old mother eagle comes up to the nest. And you know what really the little eagle has is seeing what size bird his mama is. So she gets on the nest, you ought to see it, it's a real drama. And she gets on the nest. And she goes to cooing to him. Cooing to him, the eagle's wrong. Oh, that sounds good. Then she stretches out her feet and wings. See how big I am? And then little fellow goes up and says, oh, mama, what a great bird you are.
Now, some of them, and it was just 14 feet across the wingspread. They could pick up a calf and pack it all. And they didn't even ever realize what a mother he had until he was going to look up to her and see the woman spare her child. Why do you people set your kids tonight? You Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians, the doctors bring you down to you Pentecostals. It's because God's kind of throw your kids in front of us. Take care of these powers that took out the land. God's going to take care of the fight one of these days. And he wants to know how great thou art. Did you ever turn it out and look at the solar system? How that those little old stars and moons is nothing but insects, little grains of dust on his feathers. Sure, how great thou art, he said, came here to say. What type of a pastor would that be? How great thou art! He wants you to look at him. Why? He wants to take you on a ride. He wants to give something good to you, because ain't you tired of being a chicken? You don't want to be a chicken, that's being evil. So then he set forth a great wing. Said, look how great I am. Showed those great big wings. You see how great I am? They feel that cool breeze coming in. That's where a man, when he gets down before God, and the Holy Spirit begins to move in on him. How great thou art. How great thou art. Trust me. Can you trust me? And the little sufferer wings say, Mama, I'm just like you are. I'm ready. She's hovering over her nest. She's fluttering over her young. And each one of those little eagles, she throws those big wings down. Each little eagle climbs up there and sets his little paws down her great big strong wings. Takes his little beak, catches a hold of the feathers. You couldn't pull it out with a pair of pliers. So now, it has to be the hold of that little one. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh, keep God's own changing hands. Nothing in my arms, God's own. Simply to that cross I came. Let the world say, Holy Lord, the magic divine healer, whatever they wish you, let me hold you, God's unchanging hand. Let my hopes empower me. Not in your merits of any treasuring, priestering, preacher, but set my faith in the merits of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who set me free from the last sin and death. Heaven, let me hold his unchanging hand when I take the flight. As the lion, all the little eaglets are gathered on the wings. I like to think of that. I was standing in Gary, Indiana, some time ago, where Brother Gold here is from. And they took me up to show me the mill, the steel mill. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I've always wondered how this would be. And each man of these beasts was working his lathes, you know, and shavings on the floor, and a little whistle blows. Every man swept the shavings right out in the middle of the floor from the steelwork. Now, I said, what are you going to do, sir? I said, stand here, Mr. Branham, and you'll see something. I said, all right. I stood there. After all, the other whistle blew, all the men went out. And then after all of them went out, he pressed a little button. And I heard something coming in the distance. Roar, roar, roar. I thought, what's that? And down through the tunnel, it was a great, big magnet. And as it crossed over that floor, right down that aisle, all of those sailors picked right up on it and went out to the people over it and demagnetized it, and it dropped in to be molded over again. I said, hallelujah! He said, sir? I said, hallelujah, and praise our God. He said, how did it work? I said, where did that stuff go? He said, it's to be molded and made over. I said, I'm thinking of another great magnet. That's coming someday. It's going to take this old corrupt little body of mine. It's going to mold it over again. I said, I want to ask you something. Why didn't all those children go? He said, sir, some of them are aluminum. It was not magnetized. I said, where is the iron? I said, what's the matter with that piece of iron there didn't go? He said, it's bolted down. I said, that's it. That's it. Oh, God, be magnetized, but be bolted down to some truth. But be free in Christ when he comes. And the Holy Spirit goes to pick you up and make you a new creature and mold you into his own fashion. And I noticed, this old evil is a go-ahead again. She squealed 3 or 4 times, real squeaky. And she set her big wings out. And she picked those little birds up. And she went up, up, The air got bigger. They'd have perished if there wasn't either. But she knew what there was. They were her own breed. God never makes you a promise you here to step out on. He'll give you breath, breath to breathe. He'll give you work to stand. He'll give you grace. Just step out on your way to promise. See if he won't do it. Anchor went so high, way in the air. Now here's the funny part about it. When she got up there, you know what she done? She struck them every one off. Off of her wings. They weren't going to be chickens. They had to fly. But those were no eagles. They were turned up by damn flip-flop. Wasn't matter. They were topsy-turvy and everything else. They didn't care. They were flying. You say, did she go away from them? No, sir. She just stole out to one side and began to watch them. Oh, my. If one of them got out of paper, she'd pick him up. Amazing grace would pick him up and lift him right back up to the end of the room. Oh, he's real. His eye is on his battle, and I know he watches me. I may not be vulnerable, I may be all out of danger, but I'm trying to fly in high heaven at the Pentecostal Jubilee, dropping my Pentecostal wings, just dropping in the air as hard as I can, and seeing the grace of God just as loud as I know how to do. And he's just saying this. Why? He's not scared. The nature is humanity. He's what evil to begin with. He's not afraid. And then he turns over and upside down if he gets too far out of here. He reaches right down, picks him up, bears him right back up in the grave with him. See, that's what he does. So he runs out of time. Oh, how much different is with the chicken. Her dream. She just walks around the barnyard with him, earthbound. That's all she knows. One day a guy was there set of here. And he only had 14 eggs. How many is the second? 15, isn't it? And he couldn't find that other egg, so they say he found an eagle's egg. And he took that eagle's egg and put it on the other hood. And when all of it passed out, that was the funniest looking little creature, if you hadn't seen it, that they ever saw. Just about, that's about the way you get him in a church, about 1 out of 7. That's right. You know, they're all looking over at him, but he's an eagle. Oh, we're going down to the Ladies' Aid Society. Thank you, I don't really want to go. They're going to play pool tonight? Don't think so. They're about 1 of 7, and that's about the way they run. So here's a strange thing to watch this little eagle. How you look around, you couldn't learn the habits of those chickens. Well, they scratched him in the manure pile. He didn't know anything about that. These people down here drinking little sociable drinks and going to horse races and watching the horses drive through Elvis Presley and he loves sushi and don't go to prayer meetings. Are you a Christian thing there, Samuel City? Yeah, you know, cook, come over here tonight. Cook. You know, I think you're going to cook, so you see, he loves sushi. Well, you just said, I don't get that. There's just something about me that would agree with it. I'm so glad of that, aren't you? I just can't understand why they do it. That is an evil to begin with. He was born an evil. Nobody might have been born in his nest. But he's an evil. Oh, he's an evil because he was an evil to begin with. His life is an evil. So, Lord, he was around there and scratching his old dead things and evil carcass that wasn't no good. The little eagle just couldn't stand that bite and he couldn't understand why they did it. So one day he realized that when the barnyard, he just couldn't understand why everything was going like that and why he had to be the ugly bird of bunch then. So much different the rest of them. And the old man who had to fly over the barnyard. He knew that was her name. And she's screaming, Johnny, you're not a chicken! You're a man! Oh, I remember when I heard it. Come out of that! Come out to the moon and be separated, says God. Cut out your unclean things. Now I will receive you. You'll be sons and daughters to me, and I'll be God to you. Don't mess yourself up with unbelievers, but come out of it! Whoever was a coming out time, Lord, right now. Come out and separate yourself from the things of the world. That little angel said, hey, that sounds evil. Maybe he went to church one night and hollered, somebody said, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. That sounds just right. That's what it is, his nature, you see. He's an evil to start with. You know what happened? He turned his little head, put him in the bathroom. Look around and say, yes, that's where I ought to be. But the rest of them not going up there. He's just the other man again. Can anyone get up there? Nah, don't you start that fanaticism among my chickens. Once you start pushing on things around here, you excommunicate you right away. The first thing you know, whenever your Bible comes to you, you're evil from the ocean, says, you're mad. You're not a chicken, you're mine. Then you just never know me how to get there. They told me I have to stay here. But just get and stop you when you come out. So when Jesus made a jump and stopped his wings, and hit on the barn yard fence, stopped in the middle of a Pentecostal organization. Now the Baptist Church into a Pentecostal organization. And everybody passed by you and said to you, if you think just how I know, I can't get you. You've got to come higher than your organization. Get out of your supernatural. God's Holy Spirit with your ego. God bless your heart better. Can you say anything you've got? Just God in front of you. If you listen to him. Ego. Evil spirit. Hallelujah. You can't be a chicken. A chicken can't be an eagle. You're predestinated by God to be eagles. You were born to be eagles. You come out of the evil family. Your spirit comes from God who created the heavens and earth, who drew all things and made the world out of things that were. If you're his child, you say amen to everything he says that's the truth. And you stand on his word. If the Holy Spirit is in you, it witnesses back to God that you're his child. And no bunch of creeds or denominations hold you away from God. You'll go because you're God. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God screams over the building, screams over the people, works among them. The other night when you're speaking, calling, showing the people that he was just the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here tonight the same way. Let's bow our heads just a minute. I want to ask you something. If you're not an eagle, would you like to be an eagle? Raise your hand and say, God, set my hand as I raise it up. God bless it. That's good. That's right. Welcome to the Lord. I haven't been, but I want to be. I want to get into the sphere where denominations won't hold me. I don't say get away from the denomination. I use Baptist, Methodist, and Pentecostal. I don't say that. But be an eagle in it. There's other eagles in there. Raise your hand and say, God, take my hand, catch me around every man, and bring me up into the heavens. Praise God. You like eagles through that thing, you like divine healing. Because you were born to believe it. There's something in you that says it's real. Lord God, take these hands and sing with you. Bring them out of your own nest and let them know that the Spirit of God that's here now is calling them to a deeper walk, to a greater experience. Not just an experience of putting your name on a book, walking out. Putting your name on a Pentecostal book or any kind of a book and walking out. What it means being born again by the Holy Spirit. God, let the scream of the Holy Spirit echo in your hearts deep tonight. Let it rise and be filled with the Spirit. And someday when you come, we'll fly away into the heavens by your Spirit and by your grace. Grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. You love him? Without the music, or give us the chorus. I love him. How many knows it? Let's sing it now. All right. I love him. Everybody, huh?
the mother eagle flew over her little one, calling, calling, come up, please, come up. Your mother, it was for you. The great Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, comes over this building tonight. Personally, I am the new master. You are born of my spirit. The Lord Jesus is here. How many sick people do we raise in here? We can make them and get them. God bless you. We don't need prayer, God. I believe the Holy Spirit tells me right now, He wants to praise you, He's God. And He's the only one who can do the free. We don't have no prayer, God. We ain't got any more money for no freedom. I believe that God right now can see the difference. Amen. You just got on your heart. How many of you in the meeting of the night here to explain how Jesus was yesterday, how the woman touched His garment, He turned and told her, lift your hands to Him. Now have faith and believe. Oh, I just, in my, I can't tell you, it's a sight. What a sight. There's five senses controlled about the three things to see upon a year. But the sixth sense is faith. You don't see a place to see? No, you hear. But it's there. Just like this microphone here before me, because it's clear. If there was a man standing here, I could see it. But only way I could tell the man moved was the rocking. But in this and wrong from this now, I know he's clear anyhow. When he moves, I can tell it. You pray if you need. If God right here now were the same, and every one of you know what I was saying to you. If God will send something for him here like he did, he has done what he promised you to do. How many of you will love him and know that he is the evil that our hearts are holding to find? God, you see your hand. I'm your servant, they are too. Let it be done, Lord, that they might know the Spirit of God, and I'm telling you the truth. I might not be able to polish up a sermon like a minister ought to, but Lord, I do know you, and I'm ready to pray for you. And help, Lord. Now you speak the words, and my sermon wasn't sufficient. You speak the words in your own way. In Jesus' name, we commit ourselves to you. Amen. Just at Christ, believe. I was the woman touched His garment. And when I'm in the audience, and Jesus turns that He touched me. This Holy Spirit that I speak of is the same today, we don't need church, then we have to act the same. He's the Holy Spirit. You just sit now, pray. Tomorrow night will be the regular healing night. Tonight is healing. Yes, sir. Stand there just a minute. Yes, stand there. I don't know you. Of course you haven't got a prayer card. Now you know what one is. You bring me to be your servant. If Christ will reveal to me what your trouble is, you accept it. Believe you'll be healed and whatever it will be. And you know, sitting right there looking at me, something's going on right now. If that's right, raise up your hand. I've never seen in my life. This is probably our first time ever meeting. But if you believe with all your heart, the heart trouble bless you. You have heart trouble, didn't you? That's right, raise your hand right here. Go back and sit down. By the way, that man sitting next to you there have heart trouble too. Right next to you. That's right. You could hide your life there if you had to. But when I throw that in, it makes you alarmed. And you believe. That's right. Now you're going to be healed. Jesus Christ makes you well. If that's right, stand up on your feet. I challenge you to believe. Hallelujah. Your mother even saw him even. Some of you believe. Some of you believe that faith believes. That reverend, let me learn. Come on, the audience. The little fellow says that you got heart trouble too. Had an awful spell today. Stay close to one thing or another, but it's heart trouble, sir. Weak is your disposition. Forget it. Go home and be well. You come along with some big disappointment in your way of coming here. Something blew up. It'll be all right. Don't worry. You're losing your life. I don't know you. God bless. What about this young lady sitting here looking at me so sincerely? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe I'm his service? Do you believe the Spirit works, the Spirit working through me? You're needing prayer, aren't you? If I'll tell you by God's Spirit, just like the woman touched his garment, you touched him too. I never seen him alive, did I? There was nothing about you. But you got spinal trouble. That's right. You did have, you don't have now. Go home and be well. Somebody else able to do it. You believe with all your heart? What about you, lady, sitting there? You put up your hand in any healing? You sit there in it? I don't know. You've never seen me in my life, as far as I know. You might have seen me, but I don't know you. If God will explain to me and let me know that if you touch his garment, something happened, I won't speak to you unless that angel is standing right there over you. That light. You ever see the picture of it? Well, that's exactly what's making you feel where you are. He's right over you. I never seen you in my life. That's right. If it is, raise up your hand, I'm a stranger to you. Some doctor got a strangling spirit, which is a garter inside your neck. You're not from this country. You come from a place that's below here. You come from Orlando, Florida. That's exactly right. That's the spirit of the Lord.